What's up, guys? Daddy Nate here. You're about to listen to Season 2, Episode 10 of the Let's Shag podcast. This episode is something that is very monumental for me in telling my story. We're going to do the advertisement section at the beginning of the podcast like we used to do in the past. I know I've been kind of integrating the advertisements a little more in these episodes, but I feel that this week's episode is one that just needs to be heard. It is one that needs to be felt in its entirety, so I didn't want to chop it up with some ads and take away from the message that I'm trying to bring you guys this week. This is my story. This is something that I've held on to for 28 years, my entire life. I've been able to let it go this last week doing some self-development work, and I just hope it showcases to you why this is so important to me. This is why I started the podcast. This is why I think discussing sexuality and discussing all these taboos, toys, kinks, bodies, consent, all these things is so important to me and why it should be so important to you. And I hope that you can relate with that. So that being said, we're going to get into a little bit of the advertisement stuff. If you want to skip ahead and listen to the episode, by all means, feel free. Daddy loves you, degenerates. Mwah. So I don't know if you heard, but I got my package from manscaped.com about 2 weeks ago. I packed the Lawnmower 4.0 in its nice little utility bag, and I drug this thing with me to Tulum. And let me tell you, it was an absolute lifesaver. I found myself in a bit of a sticky situation because I had another electronic razor that I used that had died, and the Lawnmower 4.0, even though I didn't bring the charging dock, lasted me the entire trip, and I was actually very impressed with it. It's one of the best tools in my kit for keeping my grooming standards tamed. So if you have a man in your life, or even, I always recommend this product to females too. I know it's called Manscaped, but it can be used just for anyone that wants to, you know, control their body hair, shape their body hair, do any of these kinds of things. So if you head over to manscaped.com and at checkout, you use code SHAG, that is S-H-A-G, you are going to get 20% off your order plus free shipping. Again, that is manscaped.com. Use code SHAG, S-H-A-G. You will get 20% off your order plus free shipping courtesy of Manscaped. And I hope you enjoy all of their products that they put out. I've used a plethora of them and they are absolutely wonderful. So go to manscaped.com, use that code at checkout, and just enjoy being able to tailor your body to your needs. Okay, guys, last shameless plug before we get into the episode. This one's going out to our partners at Adam and Eve. So if you want a very great discount, or if you have a toy that you've been eyeballing for a while and it's kind of just higher priced or on the pricier end and you're really hesitant on pulling the trigger, you can head over to adamandeve.com. There are lots of their selected toys there that you can use this discount code on. It doesn't work for everything, especially smaller purchased items, but almost all of the higher priced items I have found, because I've been ordering like crazy with this thing, gives you a 50% off discount if you use code SHAG, that is S-H-A-G. So you will get 50% off one specific item, one select item. You are also going to get 10 free gifts, okay? So you're gonna get one gift for him, one gift for her, one gift that you two can use together as a couple in the bedroom. You're also going to get 6 free movies, adult films that you guys can watch together and experience these toys with. And then the last free gift, the 10th, and let's not forget, is free shipping. So I don't know what you're waiting for. Go over to adamandeve.com, use code SHAG, S-H-A-G. You will get 50% off one of select items, and there's a lot of them. You just kind of have to play around with it, right? And then you're going to get all this free stuff on the back end. So adamandeve.com, use code SHAG, like the name of this podcast, and have a great time exploring your bodies together. And without further ado, degenerates, this is Daddy Nate's story. Welcome to Season 2, Episode 10 of the Let's Shag podcast. My name is Nathan Spencer, aka Daddy fucking Nate, aka Dr. Shag. And here at Let's Shag, we talk all things sex, relationships, taboos, toys, kinks, bodies, and consent. Life is short, sometimes too short, and you owe it to yourself to be having good sex. And we here at Let's Shag are here to help. Okay. So today's episode is going to be a lot different than the ones we've done in the past. Mommy Rachel is sitting here with me. Hello, Mommy.
Hi, baby.
Rachel will talk, but she is here more than anything on the podcast today to be my emotional support human. What I'll be expressing today is something that I've held up until last week as my deepest, darkest secret. And the shame that I held upon myself surrounding that is something that I have just begun to shed. Rachel looked at me probably an hour ago and said, make an outline so I can help keep you on track as you go through the depths of your emotions, and also set the goal of this episode to help you not lose sight of the bigger picture. So in this episode, I'm going to tell you my full story of my sexuality with the goal, the intent of helping you release your shame, helping you relate to my story and to breathe into you a breath of you are okay. You are not abstract. You are not abnormal. You are not anything other than yourself. And that person is exactly who you were meant to be. And the path that took you here, while it may have been judged through the lens of other humanness, was not wrong, but exactly what it had to be. And the acceptance of that, the love of your past and of all the past versions of you that exist in your own mind, is the only way to move forward. It might be a little easier if I just get started and share my story, and you'll see what I mean. So I'm kind of going to tell this. Rachel has already heard all this.
I have.
So I'm kind of going to tell this like I'm just telling her for the first time again.
Yeah.
I think that's just the easiest way for me to do it so that I don't get all tripped up and get off path. So here we go.
Well, first off, I want to say that I am so proud of you and I love you so much. I have never loved another human the way that I love you and see you. And I'm just so proud that you not only shared this with me, but that you feel compelled to share it with the world. So I think that you should start by telling them how you shared with me last week in Tulum and kind of how this came about, and then go to the beginning of the story.
Well, obviously, we were in Tulum on vacation, mm-hmm. and we went out and we had fun, mm-hmm. and we were just in this space of like open honesty. Like, we were both just telling each other our deepest, darkest shit again, you know, like
as we do,
like we've been there many times, and yes. It's just one of those things that every time we do it, it brings us closer. And it was one of those moments where I felt we both felt the need to share things.
Yes.
And I unpacked something that I haven't unpacked to anyone in 28 years of life.
Yeah.
And so that was where this took place. And then afterwards, it was like an epiphany, a moment of, oh my God, I have to tell people this.
Yeah.
Not just because I just fucking put it out there and just said it myself and heard it out loud, but because I was like, this probably resonates so deeply with so many people on such a big level that I can't even begin to comprehend. And I think that's I just felt called. Like, I was like, I have to share this.
Yeah, completely. And I think that's why we do the work that we do in the world. And such a beautiful reason for you and I meeting is being able to deepen in our own healing, right? So that we can heal ourselves and then share that with others. And I think that it's so important for your listeners to know the shame that you carried around this and how that has affected your life into this moment. And once you allowed yourself to speak your truth, you were liberated from that shame.
Yeah.
And in sharing this, will hopefully liberate others.
Yeah. And I think I've scratched something in reflection coming to this episode. Don't worry, guys. We're getting the story, I promise. In reflection for this episode, I feel like I've scratched the surface a few times. Mm-hmm. Like I've scratched it. There was an episode on the podcast called Fuck Normal, Be Yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, where I kind of talk a little bit about my past sexuality. Barely scratched it. And that's where we're going to start today. I didn't go into detail about it because I felt it was irrelevant. Mm-hmm. And now I feel it's very relevant. And then even last week, something that I didn't realize would come up, talking with Amir Yas, shout out to you, buddy, was this idea of ascribing labels and how that can be of such great detriment to your development. And, you as a human being and your perception of your own self-worth, your perception of yourself.
Yeah.
So I've scratched this
yeah.
a few times. Mm-hmm. And today,
Dipped a toe in.
And today I'm just going to
jump
the fuck in all the way.
Yeah.
All right. So without further ado, here is my story. It all started when I was about 3 or 4 years old. I had a VHS player because mm-hmm. that was the thing back then. Mm-hmm. DVDs were not a thing yet. Somehow or another, my dad's old porn cassette tape got left in the VHS player and I decided to play it. It's not knowingly, of course. Like, yeah. I just played it. And what was on the screen has stuck with me till this day. I can still vividly remember this man with blonde Jerry curls railing the fuck out of this young lady.
Very early age
to be exposed to that. And it sent me into such what I like to call just a curiosity and exploration in my innocence of being a child.
Yeah.
And here's where we get to the part that's hard for me. Because mm-hmm. of all the labels that have been ascribed to it my entire life. At about 5, I had my first encounter with my sexuality physically. Mm-hmm. Me and another little boy were on the bus. Mm-hmm. And we were fondling each other. Remembering back, I think we even, you know, tried to do some oral acts on each other at mm-hmm. the age of 5.
Yeah.
And this was, you know, of course, seen by the bus driver because we didn't know we were doing anything wrong. We just,
right.
you know, thought we were, you know, exploring or whatever you want to call it. There was so much innocence in it.
I think it's so normal and yeah. so many people go through that, myself included.
Yeah. And this was relayed to my parents who then very much growing up in a Christian home were like, you're wrong, you're bad, this is not okay, you know, immediate shame, immediate criticism, immediate rejection mm-hmm. of what had happened there, right? And especially my father, who in my mind up until the age of about, you know, 19 or 20 was like a tyrant. And he has his own shit, and I'm not here to expose all that to you guys, but it played a role in my development, right? It made me hold shame for what happened in my life. Mm-hmm. So that was my first encounter.
And I think it's important to note, too, that it wasn't just the act, it was the fact that it was the gender as well.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, you know, your parents who are Christian parents hear that their son's been fondling around with another little boy.
Right.
If it had been a girl, it would have been way less of an issue, right? Or right. to them, anyways. It right. wouldn't have put so much pressure on me.
Right. And a lot of shame that comes from right. that, right?
So that was the first encounter that ever happened, and that happened very young. We moved and I ended up at this daycare facility when I was probably 6 or 7. This is my second recollection of physical sexuality encounter, if you want to call it that. I was bullied as a younger kid by an older kid, and I still remember his name is Tyler. Mm-hmm. I can still see his face. Mm-hmm. And he would force me to touch girls my age at one point, go down on a girl my age, eat her pussy. Same thing for her. She touched me. She went down on me. Mm-hmm. And this was multiple girls across a time span of, you know, I don't know how long I was there, probably months. I couldn't really even tell. Those details are very blurry, but I know it happened. I still mm-hmm. remember it. It was behind a bush because we were hiding from, you know, the people outside that were monitoring the playground play or whatever. And then I think at the height of that bullying, was actually there was a mentally challenged kid there named James. Mm-hmm. And Tyler bullied me and a group of other little boys younger than him into sticking plastic knives up James' butt.
Oh, yeah.
And so that was also something that I've held with me for a very long time. I think, to my recollection, my mom heard about it to some manner. I think she actually only heard about the James part because that was something that, like, he had plastic knives in his ass.
I mean, and you're so young that you don't even know what you're doing, but
correct.
It's something that you've carried, the feeling mm-hmm. that came along with that, with
right.
whatever shame, I'm bad, I'm wrong,
right.
what is happening, right? Those feelings stay anchored within you.
Correct.
Right? And
absolutely.
I think that that's what you carried, and yeah, I think that it's just beautiful that you're able to talk about it now, because I think so many people go through these similar mm-hmm. experiences at a really young age.
So my third yeah. recollection, and still in my curiosity of my youth, I want to say I was probably 9 or 10. Mm-hmm. Again, another boy, another
yeah.
friend of mine or whatever, we're exploring our bodies on the bus. Mm-hmm. And that one I don't think actually that my parents knew about. that happened, and it was, you know, we, it was something that I've always held, right? And but it, I don't think it ever got brought up to my family.
What did you make that mean?
Well, obviously because of my past, and the shame around the first encounter that it had happened, it was a secret. You know what I mean? It was like, oh, this is, I'm not supposed to be doing this, but I'm just so curious. And obviously being, you know, exposed to sexuality at such a young age, it was like, the, I don't want to call it temptation, but just the curiosity.
Yeah.
Just was like, what is this stuff? And, you know, as you get older, your body changes a little bit. And so it's even more heightened. You're more, a little more aware every year, right? As you go from these ages of, what, I was four to like 13 is when all this took place. So you become a little more aware, your body becomes a little more sexual in a manner because you're growing up and stuff like that. So obviously I held a lot of shame around it. And here's where, this is the instance where I held the most shame for the longest time. I think I was 11 or 12 and I had a friend, he was a guy friend of mine. And I remember my first interaction that was sexual of nature was he stole one of his dad's VHS tape boxes, and it was a porn box tape. And it was a bunch of girls just like getting railed out or whatever, just whatever they throw on fucking pornography VHS boxes. I can't even, you know, and I had actually hidden it in the front of my yard under a dirt pile with a rock. And I would go out to this field and look at it and then go back in my room and beat off at like this age, right? Like I was hiding it. I didn't want anyone to know I had it. Well, one thing led to another, and me and him started messing around. And at first it was just us touching each other, and then it moved into more oral things. And at the height of all of it, I actually let him penetrate me, and he had anal sex with me till he finished. And I, that was it. That's all I can remember from that. I don't think it went past that. I don't know what's past that, honestly, but... and my parents never knew about that, not that I know of. And then shortly after, I want to say 13 or 14 years old, I had my first girlfriend. And I have never looked at a man and been curious about a man in a sexual way since. But moving on as a man that has all these things that he holds under the label as homosexuality or bisexuality or... You know, we ascribe all these actions, all these physical interactions with a label. And in Christianity, homosexuality is seen as a label that's wrong. Right? And so moving on as a... And I hate to say that I identify as a label because I'm, my whole thing about this is to break fucking labels. But if you wanted to put one to me in my sexuality now, I am a heterosexual man. I only find women attractive. I don't find men attractive. I had all these curiosity moments when I was a younger kid with my sexuality, but that hasn't, like, that didn't affect me in my later life and what I found attractive. I've always found beauty in women, and, you know, that's all I'm really sexually attracted to. But I held so much shame around the fact that I committed actions that are labeled as homosexuality, bisexuality, and all these things. And I carried them with me for so long to the point where it affected me up until this year. Anytime, and just for an instance, and I told Rachel this already, anytime I was out of a mental state or I was with a woman and, you know, we talked about it last week, pee-pee, no go-go, right? I had any kind of, you know, fluctuation in my chemistry or my hormonal balances or whatever, and my dick didn't work, the first fear that popped in my head was always, am I gay? Like, is my dick not working because I'm gay? And if I sat there and rationalized it and actually thought about it, it's like, no, I don't look at a dude and find them physically attractive. Like, that, I'm not gay. But my shame from my past caused me to question my own sexuality in my present. And it literally has just stuck with me until last week when I told you. And I want you to, if you could, just tell them what you said to me when I told you this. Because I think that was the most empowering thing I've ever felt in my life.
Well, that makes me really happy that you felt safe and seen and held in that experience. And I don't think there's been a single thing that you've told me that I'm like, ooh, that's wrong, or no, that's weird. And because of my own background, right? And because of my own mission around normalizing what people usually make shameful. But in you telling me all of this, it was like, yeah, that's no big deal. Like, so many people go through that.
And I was like,
he's
what?
Like, what?
What?
Wait, what do you mean?
I was like, what do you mean that's no big deal? Yeah. I just unloaded an atomic bomb on you. And she's like, this is fine.
Yeah, I think you expected for me to freak out or think of you differently or think of you weird or whatever you feared, right? Mm-hmm. I think you probably feared that same shame that you felt coming from me, right? Being reflected back to you. And I didn't say, no, that's not weird, just to make you feel better either. I like genuinely was like, no, that's not weird. And, you know, this is about your story here, but I mean, I went through very similar experiences at a young age as well. And I have had experiences with women and men, and I do not ascribe to a label. I've never fucking understood labels. I literally came here, and I remember from being a little kid thinking, why the fuck is everyone labeling everything? Like, people are just people. If I like you, I like you. If I don't, like, whatever, right? An experience is an experience, and that gets to be, and those are isolated incidents. That doesn't mean anything about you, right? Absolutely. And society makes things mean so much, and it causes so much shame and control, and like makes people feel like they're wrong. And that's the exact thing that I know that I want to shift and change in the world, and the narrative that I want to change, but also I know that you want to change that. Mm-hmm. And it's from healing ourselves, right? I had so much shame for things that I did, whether sexually, whether drugs and alcohol, whatever that was, right? And I had to do that work to realize that I wasn't wrong, and that was just where I was at in that moment. And so I think that that allowed me to see you as, like, that was just you as a little kid experiencing, like you said, being curious,
being
or having
curious, exploring.
Yeah,
and having also a, being, I do think the factor of being exposed at such a young age was a driving factor behind
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
I mean, it played its role, right?
Yeah.
Had I been exposed to something different, I probably would have explored that facet a lot more.
Right.
But I, you know, I held so much shame because I let all these people tell me what was right, what was wrong, what this what this label is, and if you don't do everything in this box, if you don't do all the actions or the whatever characteristics that fall under this box, then you're not
wrong.
Normal.
Yeah.
Right?
And that's so damaging to people and to society. That's why it matters so much that you're sharing this story. Mm-hmm. It's like, guarantee you guys that are listening, I know so many of you out there are like, damn, I had the same experience. Holy fuck. Like, this happens to, I want to say, most of us have some type of experience, whether it's this or something else that caused shame, that caused us to feel wrong, bad. We all have that story in some capacity. Mm-hmm. And it's going to take sharing those and healing ourselves to help heal other people and to change the narrative.
Correct. And I kind of want to take this moment to kind of walk you guys through, because we say, like, to heal ourselves.
Yeah.
This is what it took for me to heal this internally.
Mm-hmm.
And Rachel can attest to this. She walked in on me one day in Tulum.
Yeah.
I was in the shower, the big ass shower that we had in our resort room. And I was in a lawn chair that I had brought from outside, sitting in the shower, sobbing my eyes out with music in the background, just sitting there like a freaking psychopath.
Hey, I love that psychopath.
But what was going on internally with me was so much bigger than just me shitting in the shower. Was so much bigger than
shitting in the shower. Don't worry, he didn't do that, guys.
I didn't shit in the shower.
Yeah, that's a whole different episode.
was so much bigger than me just sitting in a shower crying.
Yeah.
And what it took for me to heal was for me to go to all those instances, all those past versions of myself, fully embody what that child of me, that version of me, that child version of me felt.
Mm.
All the shame, all the hurt, all the labels. Take my consciousness of what I know now, strip them away, and just feel the inner being that that child was. And what I mean by that is, when I came out of it, the only thing that mattered was what resonated deepest in going back into those child moments was, I can sense your curiosity, little boy.
Mm-hmm.
I can sense your sense of wonder.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I can sense your goodness.
Yeah.
I can sense your want to be a good person.
Yeah.
I can sense all of this goodness inside of you, and all of the darkness that has come into you in these moments was not something self-projected.
No.
It was not something that lied inside of you and was awakened by moments.
No.
You did not. You were not filled with darkness. Yeah. You are filled with light. And I let other people put a label on me. I let other people put this darkness inside of me. And literally, I had to go back to each of these versions of myself and strip away that. And just literally, like I imagined, I was sitting there looking into the eyes of my past self and just saying, I love you.
Yeah.
You are good. Mm-hmm. All the bad that I've ever felt radiated from within me in those moments was not me.
Yeah.
It was society. It was culture. It was my parents. It was religion. It was all these things that made me feel bad, that made me feel ashamed, that made me feel like I was wrong, that made me feel like I was broken, that made me feel like I was damaged. All of that was not me. Mm-hmm. And so I had to go back and tell that little boy in each of those moments, I love you. You are good. I feel your goodness. I feel your confusion. Mm-hmm. I feel your exploratory side. Mm-hmm. And that, oh, fuck, sorry.
Yeah.
That was hard.
Sorry. Yeah.
That was fucking hard, man.
I know.
Sorry, I'm getting like hot flashes now talking about
it. Okay.
But that's what it took for me to be able to be like, fuck this shit, dude. Fuck the shame. Mm-hmm. Fuck these labels. Fuck these boxes that we put everyone in. We say that you have to act this way, you have to act that way, and if you don't do it exactly step by step this way, you are bad or you are whatever.
Yeah.
Like, fuck all that fucking shit.
Yeah.
And I absolutely know that there's going to be someone out there that hears this that it's just going to bounce off of. It won't resonate with. Mm-hmm. And that person listening won't understand it. And like my angry side now is like, I just want to be like, fuck you, dude. But I don't, I'm not angry with you.
Yeah.
For those of you that don't understand it, for those of you that can't grasp it, I actually, and this sounds very petty, but I feel bad. And it's, I don't mean that in a petty way. I mean it in a way of like, I wish you could feel the healing that I felt from the inside.
Well, I think everyone is on their own path to healing, right? And it lands with the people that it's meant to land with at that time. And that's what the focus is on. And everything that you're sharing here, Nate, I am just so proud of you. And I watched you go through this in Tulum. Guys, this was not easy. This was not, you know, this was not something where he just told me and felt liberated. I think you felt liberated in that moment, but then all of those feelings.
Well, I felt liberated in the moment of like, you were the first person mm-hmm. that did not just reject me, that didn't say, oh, that's wrong. Maybe we should talk about that a little more. It was, mm-hmm. that's normal.
Yeah.
I went through that.
Yeah, like, that's no big deal.
That's no big deal.
Yeah.
And I was like, what?
What?
So yeah, there was liberation in that moment, but then I had to actually go back
right.
and do more myself.
Well, and I think that, you know, from my background and what Nathan is speaking to, and I know some of you guys might be into self-development, some of you might be new to it. I know that Nathan is kind of changing the way that he's talking on this podcast in some ways, and that's probably due to the growth that has come from this relationship. But my background in mindset and self-healing and self-development, what Nathan is doing is called inner child healing. And it's really hard. And it's something that I've had to do. It's something that I think is so necessary if we want to live a really full and fulfilling life. Because what I'm going to go into the brain a little bit here.
Go ahead.
Babe,
go ahead.
If that's okay. So our brain... And us as people, our subconscious mind, right, soaks up every single thing. And we are a walking subconscious mind until the age of 7 years old. So all of your beliefs, all of the things that happen to you before that age become solidified. And so for you, Nathan, that shame, having those experiences and that exposure at age 4 and then getting in trouble at age 5 or 6 and, you know, being told like gay is wrong and you can't do those things and you're bad if you do those things, and almost trying to like scare you straight in a way, right? Which, again, I think we can have compassion for parents and people that don't know any better.
I think that's something I want to put out there. I don't blame them.
Yeah.
I don't blame my parents for their humanness and their cultured layers and things like that. Like, I'm not...
They had their own conditioning.
In the moments of going through this inner child healing, of course I was angry.
Yes.
I felt mad. I was like, why did you judge me? Why did you make me feel ashamed? Of course I felt angry.
Yeah.
But now on the other side of it, I'm like, they're just people too.
Right. Yeah. And everyone does the best they can with the knowledge that they have in that moment. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's what generational healing is all about. That's why it's so important that we heal ourselves so we don't pass that down to our children in the next generation. Mm-hmm. And what you were able to do and what you do so intuitively, which is why I love you so much, is you guys, Nathan has never like not known self-development terms or any of this stuff until he met me. But I see him and I'm like, you are doing so much of this so intuitively. You just don't have a language for it. Yeah. And I'm able to kind of give you that language, which has been...
I'm daddy, but I'm a baby.
Yeah, I'm daddy, but we're new here. but you're really not, right? And it's just learning the language and the tools to be able to apply that to yourself and even deepen in your own understanding of what it is that you're teaching and the message that you're sharing to people. And you doing that is going to help your community that much more, right? And I think that it was so normal for what you went through in Tulum and what I watched you go through. And oh my gosh, it was, I knew where you were. And I also can't say I know what you were going through because you are the only one that's lived your story, right? But right. From a sense of inner child healing and from the shame perspective and all of the wrongness and the badness, like I've had all of those feelings too and have worked through them over the past 3 years since I've been on this journey. And I feel really lucky to have been able to heal a lot of those parts of myself to be able to hold that space for you. Right. But watching you go through that was like heart-wrenching and hard because I knew that you were just like in it. And
I was a fucking mess.
You were a mess, and that was okay. And we went with it. I held you in that. It was hard.
It literally felt like I was going crazy.
Yeah.
Like I felt like 50 different people all at once, and I was like, they all have these different emotions and I don't know which one is right, which one is wrong. And I was like, oh my God, I'm losing my mind.
Yeah. Welcome to awakening. Yeah. It's beautiful and messy and really fucking hard. And so just liberating on the other side. And in those moments, you were not able to see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Right.
But I was. And you were going through all of the pain of what that little boy felt.
Right.
And the anger and the sadness and the wrongness. And then when you go back to those places, and you guys, what I want to talk about inner child healing too is like he's healing what he's believed since he was 7 years old. When you solidify your belief systems by the age of 7, then you start to live into those and you create stories. And I guarantee you can see this in your own life, whatever you decided.
I'm actually really glad that you went here because this is something I wanted to bring up.
Yeah.
I became unknowingly the full embodiment of my shame in a sense.
Awesome.
And let me describe to you guys what I'm talking about now. Because I held so much shame around feeling like I was homosexual or feeling that I was abnormal or whatever it was that you want to say is what I felt, right? I made it such a hard purpose, unintentionally to me, but subconsciously in my life, to strive to be the alpha male.
Yes.
I was leader of the football team. I was always big, muscly. I had leadership characteristics. I got tattoos. I did everything I could to make myself just
manly,
this very manly man.
Yeah.
And Rachel knows me. I'm a fucking teddy bear.
Yeah, he is.
Like, I literally am just this giant ball of mush inside the shell of, like, a manly man.
Yeah.
And so...
So sexy.
Yeah. And so, well, it's just crazy that you mentioned that because had it not been for my shame, had I been able to heal those in the moment, which no one can, right?
Yeah.
It happens to us the way it has to happen to us. But I wouldn't even, I wouldn't look like this. I wouldn't think like this. I wouldn't act like this. There's, none of this would be me.
Yeah.
So in a way, my shame led me to this moment intentionally and built me up to be who I am in order to be who I can become.
Right.
I just thought it was really crazy that you were like, you know, we live out our shame, and I have in every sense of the way.
Yeah. And we do that in our it plays out in our relationships. Mm-hmm. It plays out in the way that we respond in certain scenarios. When a trigger is hit, we respond in a toxic way rather than a healthy way. Nathan and I have been through that quite a bit, and we're learning to heal those things and heal the way that we respond to each other and notice where we're triggered, notice where our shame still lives, and be able to hold each other in that. And it's not easy.
No.
This work is not easy. Even though we're sitting here and we can talk about it and unpack it on the other side, the messy middle is hard. And as Tulum was amazing, and Tulum was difficult because of the awakening that you had, right? And what you were going through and the responsibilities that I had and all of those things that I had to be there for work and all that stuff, right? Trying to hold space for you, trying to still continue doing my responsibilities. And I think that, you know, you were, the work that you did, it's telling yourself what you needed to hear in those moments and allowing yourself to feel every single feeling that that little child felt, of every single feeling that that teenager felt because of what the child was shamed for, every single way that you acted in your early 20s that you're not proud about because it all builds on itself, right? Right. And so you're healing every single thing, and you start to begin to see that you're not wrong, you're not inherently bad, you are not, like, the shame came from outside of you, from conditioning, from society. And when you can start to separate yourself, and instead of saying, I am bad, it's just, I did those things in that moment with what I knew how to do, with how I was acting, right? And you can start to see your entire life from that lens of conditioning, and allow yourself to free yourself and liberate yourself from the shame that you've always felt. And when you liberate yourself from that, then you can act differently and be differently and be healed in the world and have better relationships, better, you know, make more impact. It's all a snowball effect in a beautiful direction, but you've got to have the breakdown before you have the breakthrough. And I think that's...
Absolutely.
You know, what I was trying to speak into you in Tulum, and he's like, no, this is horrible. Yeah. And I was like, just holding him there, like, you will get
I resisted
other side.
So hard. I mean, I don't think
that's
natural.
That's normal.
You're like, fuck this. Yeah. I don't want to fucking
like,
do this.
I liked this when I was fucking ignorant and toxic. Thank you.
And I think that's the best way to put it, honestly, is just ignorance.
Yeah.
You don't know any better.
No.
Until you do.
Right.
And then when you do, it's like, well, it just got a lot harder.
Mm-hmm. And then, but when you know better, you do better.
Correct.
Maya Angelou, thank you for that one.
Well, guys, I just felt like I had to share that with you. It was actually something, it's really funny, and I'm going to tell you guys this. I had told Rachel prior that I wanted to do this episode, that I wanted, and this was while we were in Tulum. I was like, I have to tell everyone. Like, again, I had that epiphany. I was like, I have to tell everyone. I have to do it. And I was like, we can do it this week. And then it didn't work out that week. And then this week I had scheduled to interview the author of the book Conscious Cock. And like last moment it fell through. I mean, he's sick, right? And he can't do the interview. And I was like, damn, what am I going to do the podcast on this weekend? As I'm like walking to the gym, I text Rachel and I was like, I know why I can't do the interview this week. And she was like, why? And I was like, babe, I said I was going to tell my story and I haven't done it. It's incomplete.
Yeah.
And she was like, holy shit, I have goosebumps.
Yeah.
She's like, you did. You said you were going to talk about it.
We forgot about it.
Yeah, we just kind of forgot about it because I finally came out of the mess, the messy part of the healing, right? And got back to our stability and, you know, good in our relationship, and everything's firing on all cylinders again. We're back in real life doing normal, our normal stuff. And so, it wasn't that I intentionally forgot about it. I just got back into the swing of normality, you know what I mean? But then in that moment, it was like I was just thrown right back in. It was like, the universe was like, oh, by the way, buddy, don't forget you said you were going to do this. And I was like, shit.
Yeah, and then this is my favorite part about the work, is that this is what I've been telling Nathan, because this is really his first big awakening, right? And it just, you just continue from here, because once you see, you can't unsee. And it's like, once you're called, and Nathan, I know you know this, and I feel like this is what you experienced, is you were called to share this, and you can't not do it. Mm. Like, you have no choice. Once it's there, right? And
yes,
that's how I felt about my mission and the work that I do in the world, and now the work that we're doing together. It's like, we can't not do this. That we see it, you can't unsee it.
It has to be done.
And so every time it's just like, oh, fuck. Like, damn it. Do I really have to? It's like, yeah, you do. You absolutely do.
So I think, and this is in summary, what I want to get out to all of you out there is your beliefs, your labels, your judgments, all of these things that have been placed on you either by yourself or by society do not define you. Your inner goodness defines you. Your actions do not ascribe a label. Your actions are just your actions, and they can be out of curiosity. They can be out of all different facets of life. And when you're finally able to sit in your goodness and strip off all these labels, strip off all the shame, strip off all the years of feeling afraid or that you were damaged or that you were wrong, feel like you were an anomaly to the universe, you'll just feel all that weight lifted off your shoulders, and you'll feel nothing but love.
Yeah.
Love for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And from that place is when you can start to experience true love with someone else.
Yeah.
And others. And everyone.
Yeah.
So thank you guys for listening. This episode means a lot to me because it had to be done. And not just that it had to be done, but I had to tell my truth. Mm-hmm. And I just want to thank you guys for listening. I think that's where I want to leave it. So thank you, babe, for sitting here.
Always.
Thank you for holding me in this space.
Always.
And share this with people. I'm sure there's way more people out there need to hear it than will hear it. But we're not going to give up. We're not going to stop. We're going to keep pushing this kind of stuff. Keep sharing the message, because that's what we want to do. We want to heal the world. All right, guys. I love you. Hopefully you got something out of this today. I know it was a lot more heavy than what we usually do here on Let's Shag. But I think that's exactly what you needed, and I think that's exactly what I needed. So, as always, let's get to shagging.